The eternal question is, why do most of us struggle to find happiness and abundance in life, despite our best efforts to manifest and overcome? It's as if we are stuck in a cycle of negativity, no matter how hard we try to break free. Do you know what might be behind this? Well, we are on autopilot 80% of the time, or perhaps more in some cases, because most actions taking place in everyday life, like driving, bathing, walking to work, etc., whatever it is, they are all on autopilot. Meaning to say, our subconscious mind is driving our life. And sure, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just how we are naturally function as humans. It's natural. But have you ever thought about where and how that data, that information, those programs that drive the subconscious comes from? Or might I ask, what if there are undesired programs in there? Well, in recent years, science has recognized that up to a whopping 70% of the downloaded programs in our subconscious are negative and disempowering in nature. So life's a struggle for many, and despite the fact that we are trying hard to create a life we want, we are operating out of programs and beliefs of others that we are carrying around within us. And all our thinking and actions are based on it. And when we are operating out of those, or of these automated undesired beliefs and programs in the subconscious, we are trying to change matter. The question is, will that ever work? Maybe, maybe not. Surely not anytime soon. But is there a way around it? Can we really reprogram our subconscious? Well, the answer is yes, we can. So let's explore how we can live a life that we truly desire and how we can overcome obstacles and get into the path which is more fulfilling and that we truly desire. To begin with, we know that the nervous system receives external and internal signals while the brain perceives and reads it and decides on what neurochemical hormones, etc., it needs to release in order to regulate the body's biochemistry and cells, which directly impacts genetic activation, hence results in an outcome of disease and illness or wellness, right? Well, perhaps apart from a small but major correction. In actuality, it's the mind that interprets what the brain perceives and reads, the significance of which we all look at and respond to the same environment in a different way. And what's a representation of the mind is belief, while its function is to create coherence between our belief and reality. For example, if you believe that there's something that you are afraid of, the mind will then create a behavior that represents fear. That then makes a correlation between that belief of fear to the reality that we are experiencing. So we can conclude that our thought processes that is generated by our mind based on our belief system, it adjusts our body's biochemistry. Hence, we can say our beliefs are more powerful than our reality. So let's take a look at the mind before we move ahead. And for the sake of keeping things simple, let's say that the mind is divided into the conscious and subconscious mind. And the conscious mind is connected to your physical identity, ego, all of those things, while the subconscious mind is a database of stored behavioral programs. And now remember, there's more to it, but we are just trying to keep things simple, all right? So starting with first understanding that the conscious and what the conscious and subconscious mind is. And beginning with the conscious mind, which is, and all these at the physical level, by the way. And so speaking of the conscious mind at the physical level, it is represented by the frontal lobe of the neural tissue, which is behind the forehead, called prefrontal cortex. And the character of the conscious mind is creativity, and its role is to manifest desires, wishes, and thinking. And on the other hand, speaking of subconscious mind at the physical level, or the subconscious part of the brain, actually, it is represented by the rest of the brain that acts like a record playback mechanism, just like a baby learns to walk at the age of 2. I guess it's around that age. And it doesn't need to relearn it again, because the programming of walking has been installed in the subconscious. So in short, it represents habits, automations, and beliefs. Like anything that you do on a daily basis without giving it any effort, like any thought, for example, brushing your teeth, right? You learn that in childhood, and then it's a part of your programs. Of course, although there can be programs installed in the subconscious that are negative, which when stimulated can lead one in a negative direction. But how and when do these programs get installed in the subconscious is a very interesting thing. So basic instincts, in a way, are genetic in nature, while the rest, which are majority of programs that are learned or picked up by either absorbing, observation, or experience. And that's the way the programs are built up in us, in our brains, in our mind. So we can say that it's the behaviors and beliefs of others, in a way, or that of society that's taught, that we tend to pick up. Of course, although this system of picking up or acquiring programs or building belief systems that is in place is natural and part of what makes a human. And so there's nothing wrong with that, of course, because we need these programs to be in place so we can go about our life. Because imagine thinking and putting an effort to the most tiniest of thing. You just won't be able to live a life in that manner, right? So let's take a look first at how these programs start getting embedded, and starting with the placenta. That's the connection between the mother's blood and the fetus's blood. And blood is more than just nutrition. As we discussed in a previous episode, which was dedicated to blood, it's a very interesting episode and would highly recommend you go and visit that episode. So any which ways. So blood also holds information. It's also, of course, a way through which hormones are transferred, and nutrition is also, it carries nutrition, all of that. Yeah, sure, but there's more to it. And speaking of hormones is a product of the way we think, right? And the way we feel. So talk about more cortisol. Let's take that for an example. So if there's stress during that period, the gestational period, when the mother is holding the baby in her womb, in this way, the baby or the fetus starts learning from the pattern in utero before being born. And that's also when the genetics are being adjusted via epigenetic activations to prepare the child for what's waiting outside in the world. So if the mother is stressed out and there's high cortisol, well, it's already affecting the baby. It's in a way, not just biochemically, but also on the energetic levels, on the emotional levels, things are already taking place. They are happening. The programs are building up. All right. So that is how intelligent nature is. And all this is happening in wisdom of the body, since it wants to optimize itself for survival. So the experience of the mother is adjusting through epigenetic mechanisms of the fetus as well. And as a baby is born, the brain is in a state of delta, which is the unconscious state. Because as you know, a child also spends most of its first year sleeping, right? And delta brainwaves is associated with deep sleep. And so the range of the delta brainwaves is from 0.5 to 3 hertz. And of course, then comes the second year. When the baby's in the second year, the brain starts shifting into the theta state, which is all about imagination. And theta brainwaves range from 3 to 8 hertz and are most common during deep states of relaxation and meditation in general, even for us, like adults. It's a state between wakefulness and sleep. And this is the frequency where we tap into learning, memory, intuition. And since we know that the brain is also in a highly suggestible state, in this brain state, the child is already absorbing everything like a sponge. It's picking up on the slightest and the smallest of details automatically. And it's this data that is primarily recorded and forms the primal program of operation of the subconscious state. Also, it doesn't stop there. We'll get to that in a moment. But as we continue, because I don't want to break this rhythm, and as the child reaches an age of 7, the brain wave, again, the brain starts shifting into the alpha state, which is a calm consciousness state, and starts getting conscious about the world around it, outside it. And alpha brain waves generally range from 8 to 12 hertz and are dominant during relaxed, thoughtful moments. Not that deep state of relaxation, but just relaxed. Think of reading a book. Of course, there are not just reading a book, but even driving and taking a shower, washing dishes, daydreaming, and other such activities. And I also wanted to point out another thing. As you can see, there are ranges. So you're always somewhere on the spectrum. Your brain waves can be in low alpha to high theta to somewhere between alpha and theta. And brain waves rapidly change based on what you're doing in the moment. So in short, it's not something black and white. So it's not like after the age of 7, the child won't ever be in a theta state. I mean, it's quite obvious what I'm talking about. But I just want to make sure that I clarify this concept to y'all. All right, so moving on. And as a child reaches the age of 12, the brain activity ramps up to the beta. You know, it's also the beginning of stepping into fully stepping into the outside world, which is associated with it's more of an active conscious state, and it ranges between 12 to 36 hertz, and it's associated with active thinking and problem solving. It's like using more of the left brain now, because before the child was more imaginative and used to do things that, you know, mostly adults just say, those things don't exist. Stop doing that. That's stupid. You know, these things also get programmed in a way, and this is also what creates a problem. But that's, we'll get into that later. So we can say that, by this age, by the age of 12, this is the point where the child's self-identity is formed, and not by the child, okay? It's not by the child itself, but by those around it. Because remember, it's the community around and all the people around from which the child has been picking up the programs. And this is actually what's shaping the child's self-identity. So here's the thing. Staying in this high-frequency state for too long can lead to stress and burnout. And this is a very important thing to note, because when we are in a stressed state, this is the state where the brain, this is the state of the brain remains in. However, let's move on. So there is a brain state above the beta brain state. Now this gets really interesting, but it's easy. It's not confusing, but I think at some point it did confuse the scientists, that where the beta brainwave ends, there starts another like brain state. It's like, you know, beta brainwave ends at 36 hertz. And you might be wondering, well, you know, how is it that something that's higher than beta brainwave won't cause burnout or lead to stress? In fact, what comes next does the very opposite. So there begins another stage, a state which extends as high as 44 hertz. You heard me right, 44 hertz. And this has different characteristics as we look at the waves from the EEG. So it's not like, you know, like beta. So you can't call it high beta because it's completely different. It's called gamma. Sure, I think some of you all might be aware of this. So the characteristics included in gamma is that of feeling of well-being, feeling united, connectedness, which is very much unlike that of beta, because in beta, one tends to feel, because the person is in a stress state, the person tends to feel isolated and separated. You know, imagine when you're stressed, you don't feel like meeting anyone, right? And here's the thing, the crazy, insane thing, it doesn't stop till gamma. There is another range that has gamma characteristics and extends far beyond gamma waves. So we can say like from 44 hertz to 100 hertz or cycles per second, this other state is called hyper gamma. So in this state, one experiences the deepest form of insight and intuition or connection with one's higher self, like the ultimate state. And just as the researchers thought that all that is, and there's nothing more than this that can actually exist, they were again shocked when there was another higher brain state, higher than hyper gamma. And mind you, these brain states were discovered by studying the brain states of Tibetan monks. That too, not any sect of these monks. It was a very special, a very limited sect of these monks that have been trained in such a way that have kind of, in a way, achieved this brain state. And all thanks to the research of Greg Braden that we found this. And I think he has a huge role to play in this, because he was the guy behind this. Any which way. So these elevated brain states is rare to achieve, but of course it's possible. And it begins at the high end of hyper gamma, that's 100 hertz to 200 hertz or cycles per second. And the brain state is called the lambda brain state. And in this state, both the right and the left hemisphere of the brain are synchronized, or perhaps even more synchronized, which also allows tremendous levels of self-regulation. Like these monks who were meditating, they were doing so in like sub-zero temperatures, sitting on the bare icy grounds, wearing their like normal summer robes, whatever robes they wear, the normal robes. And not just that, the snow around them, like it was melting as because of the heat that was being emitted from their bodies. Imagine that. I mean, that's incredible. And similar to the lambda brain state, there were newer brain states discovered on the other end of the spectrum. So now I'm talking about below delta. And delta, as we know, is the brain state wherein we are deep in sleep, right? So when we speak of like below delta, because delta spans from 3 hertz to 0.5 hertz. So it's basically because it's reverse, right? It's below, it drops. So the other one, which is below delta, it begins at 0.5 hertz because that's where delta ends, and it ranges downwards to like 0 hertz, which is like nothing being emitted from the brain. I mean, this is crazy, right? It's kind of bizarre because I mean, think about, there is no detectable heartbeat, pulse, or breathing. I mean, you'll think the person is dead. However, they are very much alive and very conscious within that state, right? Which is crazy interesting. And also what's interesting here is like whether it's the highest of the high, which is the lambda, or the lowest of the low, which is which I just told you, epsilon. It's from 0.5 hertz to 0 hertz. I'm sorry for that. So both these states, the epsilon, where there's no heartbeat detected, nothing at all, it's like zero brain waves, and that of like the lambda, they both allow the person to enter into the same state of consciousness, which goes to show that we can take any path. We can either go up or we can go down. The only difference is, like, from the epsilon, we achieve it through a very drowsy state, which is like close to a state of deep sleep, or like crazy deep sleep, I would say. But the same can also be done from the lambda, which is full consciousness and complete waking state, right? So speaking of the gamma state, getting back to that, it originates from the thalamus and goes from the front of the brain to the back and front again, and is all encompassing, sweeping through all the areas of the brain. Hence, it's called the unifying brain state or the brain wave. And it's also taking place at an incredible high speed at like 40 times per second. And of course, when people are in gamma, they feel unified or less separate from the world, which I mentioned previously. And this is a very important point to note. So now the question comes, and how do we know this? Well, the part of the brain just below the occipital area, it lights up when we sense our location in space and time. So basically, the awareness of the space and in the gamma brain state, the scan shows that that exact part is less active when we are not so attached to the space and time. It's as simple as that. Now, with me sharing all this, I hope you're getting the big picture here. Based on the state we choose to be in, it shapes our lives, actions, feelings, situations, and experiences. Of course, apart from rewiring and reprogramming the subconscious, since we don't live in a perfect world, you can imagine that a lot of undesired data and programs are recorded during our formative years. You know, that gives rise to not just health issues, but psychological issues as well, and undesired behavioral patterns due to like an out-of-place belief system. So, in fact, the programs in the subconscious can be so self-critical that in our mind, we use those to downgrade ourselves and plunge into self-criticism, causing lower self-esteem and whatnot. And by the way, there's another crucial factor to consider. Since the very beginning, we are programmed and our brains are wired for the material world, where we are in a habit of looking for everything present in the matter or material world. So the brain is either trying to anticipate the future or live in the past, right? While what we really need to do is live in the present and access deeper or higher brainwave states. Because based on different brain states, it can either keep us connected or keep us disconnected and away from that field that we spoke about in the previous episode, which, if you haven't listened to, I'll just quickly give you a gist. Although I highly recommend that you consider giving it a listen. So any which ways, I'll briefly mention what the field is. The field itself is consciousness, which interconnects all life forms. So what I mean to say is that we are the field, all of us, everything. And the field is every atom of our bodies. It's not a place outside of us. It's It's what makes up everything and consists of everything. All that is and all that will ever be. All potentials, dimensions, parallel realities, all possibilities, timelines, all consciousness units and whatnot. Everything you can think of exists simultaneously and makes up the field, and all of this can be accessed. Imagine how powerful this is, how powerful you are, we all are, because everything is one. Separateness in the third dimension, our dimension, which contains time and space, is just an illusion. It's a mere illusion. And what actually separates us is ego, right? But that's not a bad thing either. It's just that we're here and we have things in place just so that we can learn and have experiences. Any which ways. So the ego is the reason why we don't perceive everything in the field. That's just in simple words, because everything in the field, apart from that, everything in the field vibrates at certain frequencies, like different frequencies, whether it's physical entities or different temporal realities or our non-local higher self aspect. Everything has its own unique vibrational frequency. Just think of it as, like, in a simple words, everything has a phone number of its own, right? Like, unique phone number. Everyone has a unique phone number. So, just like we connect when we call each other. Of course, it's very simplified. Not exactly. It doesn't work in the same way, but it's just to make you understand. So, when we align our frequencies, like aligning with these frequencies is actually the key to accessing and interlacing or interacting with them, with these other frequencies. And why would we like to do that? Why would we like to interact with the field and everything in it? So that we can create the life that we want. Simple. Because field is the raw material that makes everything. It's that simple. And to simply put it, our ability to interact with the field is determined by our heart and brain state. And just for your information, it's not just the heart and brain that produce an electromagnetic field. The body produces magnetic fields in two ways, two main waves. By the electric currents and by ferromagnetic particles. The electric currents are the ion currents generated by the muscles, nerves, and other organs. For example, the same ion current generated by heart muscle, which provides the basis for the electrocardiogram. It also produces a magnetic field over the chest. And the same ion current generated by the brain produces a magnetic field over the head. And biomagnetism is a production of a magnetic field by a living object and works in the human body throughout the circulatory system, the nervous system, and the endocrine system. Magnetism is continuously penetrating every known particle right down to the atom. So its ordering effect on living systems arises from the fact that magnetism is a blueprint of life itself. All known energies have as a base this electromagnetic field, all right? And the brain's electromagnetic field generated through brainwave activity that we just looked at, This contributes an additional layer of information. So different states of consciousness produce different brainwave frequencies, influencing the overall biofield. And that's not all. There's biophoton emissions that are also emitted by the body, which are light particles that carry information about the psychological and energetic state of the body. which is often perceived as the aura. So, to sum it up in short and simple words, the biofield is a unified dynamic system that includes the electromagnetic fields generated by the heart and the brain, as well as the biophoton emissions. And the reason why we stress most on the electromagnetic fields of the heart and the brain is simply because the heart's electromagnetic field, which is significantly influenced by emotions and feelings, is the most powerful in the body, extending several feet around the heart. And studies reveal that heart generates the largest electromagnetic field in the body, which influences the brain's activity and emotions in an emotional state. So the heart's electromagnetic field serves as a bridge between the physical reality and the higher states of being. And the heart-brain coherence is essentially for achieving elevated states of consciousness. Because when we are in coherence, when the heart-brain is in coherence, meaning to say it promotes the production of alpha and the theta brain waves, not beta, theta, which is associated with relaxation, meditation, and heightened awareness. Coherence strengthens our connection to the unified field while enhancing our ability to transcend the limitations of the third dimension, accessing higher dimensions where time and space are perceived differently. And remember, positive emotions create coherent, harmonious heart rhythms, resulting in a stable and strong electromagnetic field, while negative emotions do the opposite. So that's it. These brainwave states are crucial for accessing higher states of consciousness, characterized by feelings of unity and profound insights. This state allows to establish connection with the unified field of consciousness, or the field, to simply put it. And once that happens, we can navigate different dimensions and realities. And to achieve the heart-brain coherence, we need to practice focused breathing and gratitude, because that's what harmonizes the electromagnetic fields of the heart and the brain. And not just doing it once or sometimes, but by making it a habit. Unless, of course, it's being facilitated and you're being guided, like, for instance, the mind expansion sessions that I facilitate and have discussed the process in depth in the previous episode. Anyway, so we need to make it a habit to simply put meditate. Just close our eyes, become an observer of our thoughts while not interacting with them, most importantly. And as we enter the space where the moment we become nobody, nothing, nowhere, no time, as we take our attention off the physical dimension and just be present in the now, away from everything that's known and familiar, we begin to expand our awareness. That's what begins to slow down our brain waves in our neocortex. We start moving away from the beta brainwave patterns to the alpha and beyond. And as we continue to do so, that's when the brain starts to become more coherent and starts resonating and connecting with the heart, which is in a state of compassion, gratitude, love, in a place of non-judgment, having its own beautiful electromagnetic field, strong electromagnetic field. And that's when we start crossing over the bridge from the consciousness mind to the subconscious, where all the programming is, right? And that's also when we awaken and become conscious in our subconscious mind. So imagine being conscious in your subconscious mind. What do you think can happen? Do you think you can reprogram and rewire things? Absolutely. And not just that, as pure consciousness, which in that moment is disassociated with ego and identity, we then are also directly interacting with the field that we are a part of, which is the raw material, right? And how are we doing that? We are doing that frequencies, wave, energies, information, and so much more. Like interacting with the space beyond matter, beyond linear time, right? And we are shifting to a space where exists everything, like all possibilities, all times, everything imaginable and unimaginable into the multiverse. And so, because as you know, that's the realm we create from, right? Because that's the raw material. You're going to create from raw material. As simple as that. And as we are present in that state, in that space, and as we start creating, we are no longer trying to change or move matter. In the sense, every emotion and thought, which are in a way correlated, produce or has a frequency. And as Dr. Joe Dispenza has described and explained, that the slower the frequency, the slower the vibration, the slower the outcome. Meaning to say, when it comes to manifesting in the third dimensional reality in which we are in. And on the other hand, the faster the frequency, due to elevated emotions like joy, love, gratitude, etc., the closer we stay and get to the unified field, the faster the manifestation, right? Simple. Because now we are beginning to create a vibrational match between our energy with that of the potential in the quantum field. Because remember, in the field, everything exists. It's the raw material. It's everything that ever exists and has existed and ever exists. So when we do that, we are kind of creating a warp in the space-time fabric that makes that event come to us. And it doesn't stop there. When we are interacting with the field, we have the options to interact or engage with the higher self or the higher mind, perhaps even entities beyond the third density, or even past or future events in appropriate parallel realities where all information and potential realities exist. So by tuning into this field, we can access knowledge, healing, and experiences beyond our current physical reality. So especially in case where for certain people, their individuals' consciousness could be entangled with their past experiences, causing issues in their current reality. And this deep or elevated state also allows for instant retrieval of such relevant non-local information, aligning with specific frames of past experiences, therefore allowing its release. It's a really interesting topic, which I'll be covering in another episode in the future, near future. So, anyways, the thing that I'm trying to explain is not that difficult to understand. Sure, it does not fit in the logical explanation that we have always been given about the way the universe is and everything else, but you know, in the end, it's not rocket science. It's just about having an open mind, right? And also, apart from all that, getting back to what we were discussing, the heart-brain coherence plus that data or gamma brain state is what opens the door to connection with the field, where we are no longer confined to the laws of space and time. Also, remember, intention acts as a guiding force when we do this. Because sure, we will open the doors, we are building up the bridge, but where do we need to go? Because the field is where everything exists. Like, what do we need? What do we require? What do we need to tap into? So, intention is like directing our consciousness and facilitating profound interaction with a unified field. And now, you already have an understanding of the non-linear nature of time, the interconnectedness of the unified field and the role of consciousness as a dynamic participant. You can now begin to unlock profound insights into the nature of existence and the potential for healing and transformation. All you need is action and dedication to be consistent. And with that, we are coming to a close, with a promise that there is more, a lot more to come in the upcoming episodes, because we have just started digging into this topic. In fact, there's also a huge portion that's left out because this is a one powerful way of surpassing your reprogramming, rewiring, and surpassing your, a very powerful way, in fact, your programs that have been embedded during childhood, during those developing years. But also, there is another way, which is the most common and, in a way, I wouldn't say conventional, because it's still not really accepted in the conventional setting, but as they say with hypnosis, right? I mean, there is those deeper states of relaxation, they're also labeled as hypnagogic state, where when generally in a very normal setting of hypnosis, where people are given suggestions in such a state for creating a behavioral change or to take fear out. That's another way. That's another way that we haven't discussed. The way that I'm discussing right now is more related to mind expansion, which is different from hypnosis. And in mind expansion, we are directly reaching out to the field, into everything that can be. And as always, you can consider subscribing and joining the community, while also being able to access a growing library of resources for journeying to wellness and beyond. And until then, take care, be happy, be healthy, and see you next time.